The scripture today is Hebrews 12, 1b through 2, Proverbs 3, 5 through 6, and Colossians 2, 6. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of joy awaiting him, he endures the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Olivia. You may be seated. Welcome to worship. We're in the middle of this sermon series called Faith Explored. And we've been taking a look at some of the ways that individuals of the Bible have displayed just some incredible faith in God. Whether they saw God do some amazing things through them because they were willing to take a step in trust and obedience. Last week, we looked at the Israelite people as they crossed the Jordan River going into the Promised Land. In Joshua chapter 3, we saw that their unique faith was displayed by their willingness to step into that flooded river before it had even parted, not after. Sometimes we have to take a step of faith first to then see God's faithfulness at work. Well, this week we're going to look at another angle of faith that we find in Scripture. It's in the interaction between faith and fear. And over the past few years, the church has just been really well acquainted with this, navigating these two extremes of faith and fear. The global pandemic, increased gun violence, a global financial crisis are just a few of the challenges that we all face today. And then just watching the news as the United States seemingly getting involved with this war between Israel and Iran. And it's so easy when we see these things to allow fear to begin taking a bigger step in our life over our faith in God. Some of us maybe had been tempted to even abandon our faith as we embraced that fear. I would say during that pandemic that we went through, just about every person on this planet embraced some type of fear. And see, fear paralyzes us and keeps us from being the hands and feet of Jesus in a broken world. And so as we explore faith today, we're going to learn some keys to holding on to our faith even in the face of fear. Now, if we let it, life can completely overwhelm us with that emotion of fear. Anyone can be afraid of just about anything. They're called phobias. I have a few. I imagine you have some too. And so I have some phobias that I found, and I'm going to put the word up there, and I'm curious to see if anybody knows what they are. And hopefully I'll come close to pronouncing some of these. But the first one up here is porphyrophobia. Anyone have any idea what that is? No, not fireworks. It's the fear of the color purple. That's a fear. Because you imagine, all right, all you people with purple on today, you have now caused someone some stress. All right, how about this one? Chaetiophobia. This one's a weird one. This is a fear of hairy people. Who knew? All right, auroraphobia. You might be able to guess this one. There we go. I heard someone say it. Fear of the northern lights. They're so cool. It's hard to imagine someone being afraid of it, but that's what it is. All right, here's another one. Cliprophobia. This one's kind of funny. It's the fear of obscure meanings. All right. Here's another one. Hopefully you're not having this one. This is paludophobia. Paludophobia. It's close. It's fear of baldness or bald people. Such a thing. Odontophobia is a fear of teeth. Graphophobia is the fear of writing in public. How about phobophobia? Anyone have any idea what that is? Fear of being afraid. Yes, that's pretty rough when you're afraid of being afraid. There's a circle there. Researchers suggest that the number one fear in the United States is glossophobia. Anyone know what that is? There we go. Fear of public speaking. 1 in 4 people, 25%, have that fear. Standing in front of someone and having to say something. Well, there are many people within the church today who are not living up to their full potential in Christ. They don't live generous lives. They don't serve others. They don't make worship a priority, and they don't take risks for the sake of Christ. Why? Well, there's probably a lot of reasons for it, but I think the number one is because of fear, a fear of what others might think. A fear that following Jesus might cost you something too much. A fear of looking foolish. Or a fear that the impression or voice inside of you that's leading you to do something maybe isn't actually God. Maybe it's your own thoughts, and so you ignore that voice because you're just not sure. And then you just end up not getting to see God work through you because you weren't willing to step out. It's that fear of taking a risk. Well, a disciple named Peter learned this lesson in one of my favorite stories in the gospel. It's Matthew chapter 14. John the Baptist had just died in prison, and then Jesus had just fed the 5,000, and after that, Jesus sent his disciples out in a boat to cross the Sea of Galilee while he went up to a mountainside to pray. Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 and 26 says this. Immediately after this, after he had fed the 5,000, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and cross to the other side of the lake while he sent the people home. They had to be wondering, okay, Jesus, how are you going to get there? But that's what Jesus told them to do, so they did it. After sending them home, he went up to the hills by himself to pray. Night fell while he was there alone. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble, far away from land, for a strong wind had risen, and they were fighting heavy waves. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them walking on the water. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. In fear, they cried out, "It's a ghost!" I think you probably would have done the same thing had you been there. The disciples, they're all alone in this boat on the water. They've been used to Jesus being right there. He's not with them. And Matthew sets the stage for what was about to happen. There was a storm. And the boats and the disciples were in was being tossed by this wind and waves. The Greek word used here for the word tossed is banzenio. It literally means to examine, but also to torture or to buffet. And I'm sure they felt like that's what was happening. They were being tortured as they were being buffeted by these waves. And the disciples found themselves in a difficult and very scary situation. It was a circumstance that was completely outside of their control. So let's just see what that was like from this clip from The Chosen.
Okay. you see that? Over there! I don't see anything!
What are we looking for?
Sign up for that trip? No thanks. Have you discovered yet that life is often outside of our control? You know, every one of us in this room today can point to a time in recent history where we felt tossed by winds and waves of life, a diagnosis, a tragedy, a crisis, a disappointment, a deep wound caused by someone close to us. These are the very things that often happen that are outside of our control, but they can cause our faith to waver. It can leave us feeling vulnerable and exposed, and we can wonder, where is Jesus in the middle of all of this that I'm going through? Storms of life are unavoidable. The question is, who do we trust when we're in the middle of it? It's kind of like this little boy whose mother was tucking him into bed during a summer night storm. And so just kind of vision this. So this storm, and it's windy, and there's lightning and the wind against the windows. And she was about to turn off the light when he said in a trembling voice, "Mommy, can you stay with me all night?" Smiling, the mother gave him a warm, reassuring hug and said tenderly, "I can't, dear. I have to sleep in Daddy's room." A long silence followed. At last, it was broken by a shaky voice saying, "Oh, that big sissy." It was a dark and stormy night, and the disciples were being tossed around in this tiny boat, as we saw from that video clip. Now, many of Jesus' disciples were fishermen, so they were, they had encountered a storm or two, probably several, but their immediate response to this storm was fear. And this indicates this storm was particularly dangerous. Matthew chapter 14, verse 25, the Bible says that it was just before dawn, Jesus came out to them walking in the water. Jesus was demonstrating his power and control over the elements of that storm, but when the disciples saw him, they were gripped with fear because they thought he was a ghost or a spirit. And because of that fear, the disciples missed that Jesus was right there in the middle of that wind and waves. Now, if you haven't watched the Chosen series, the writers of this enactment of Jesus' life and ministry often added some additional elements to the story that are not in the gospel accounts, but they kind of help to give us an explanation of what might have happened or what might have caused something that was alluded to but not explained in the gospels. Like the couple of them in this clips that we're going to be watching, who was this soldier that had declared that surely Jesus had been innocent when at the cross? And so they kind of interweave the story of this soldier, or the fact that we know that Peter and his wife didn't have any children. And so the clip kind of delves into that, even though the Gospels doesn't really explain why that was. And so we're going to see in a clip coming up that Peter's wife seeking healing for herself and Peter because of miscarriage. Neither that soldier nor the miscarriage is in Scriptures, but it's there as a way to kind of maybe explain some things. So let's watch this next clip, just knowing that that part is not actually...
Go! Go! Faster!
Let's go! Go!
Nobody move!
Simon, what?
I said everybody stop!
Stop!
Okay, stop!
Nobody move!
That's not a ghost!
Are you crazy?
Okay. And so life is often outside of our control. Faith is not the absence of fear. Because when we do things in faith, there's often some fear there. Instead, it's the result of the presence of Jesus. Faith is the result of the presence of Jesus. Fear is just an emotion that's probably going to be there as you make choices to walk and step in faith. So immediately Jesus spoke to them. The words he says are echoes of the most repeated command in the Bible. 200 times in Scripture, God told his people not to be afraid and to take courage. 365 times he says, don't be afraid. It's the command given to Joshua just before they crossed the Jordan River, as we heard from last week. Joshua chapter 1, verse 9, where it says, this is my command, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged. For the Lord God is with you wherever you go. Facing uncertainty in a new land and the crossing of a flooded, raging river, God told his people to have courage. Not because all these obstacles would be eliminated, but because God was going to be with them as they went. The same is true in this passage as well. Jesus told the disciples to take courage right in the middle of that storm because he was with them. Matthew chapter 14, verses 27 to 29, it says, but Jesus spoke to them at once. Don't be afraid, he said. Take courage, I am here. Then Peter called to him, Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water. Yes, come, Jesus said. So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water toward Jesus. Let's watch the scene.
Hey, it's me, Jesus.
Impossible.
How is this the second most incredible thing I've seen today?
This surprises you? Learn nothing from today?
If it is you, command me to come to you on the water.
Simon, no!
Are you out of your mind?
If you are who you say you are, bid me to step out of this boat.
You have the faith to walk on this water?
Absolutely. You can do whatever you command, and if you command the water to hold me, I will walk on it.
If I call you to me, you will step out in faith?
Yes!
Then why are you upset?
Why are you chasing after Gentiles when your own people have problems right here? When your own person has problems? I've been right here in front of you, believing in you, but you're breaking up fights in the Decapolis?
Then come to me. You, weary and heavy laden. I will give you rest.
Gives and takes away.
Why do you think I allow trials?
I don't know!
They prove the genuineness of your faith. They strengthen you. This is strengthening you. And Eden. Keep your eyes on me.
Who comforts us in our grief and binds up the wounds of the brokenhearted.
Jesus' most comforting words to the disciples are, I am here. They don't have to be afraid because they were not alone. And maybe that's what someone needs to hear this morning. You can have faith in the middle of whatever you're going through because you are not alone. Even if it feels like you're alone, Jesus is with you. That's the beauty of faith. You can do hard things and make a difference for the kingdom, even though you may be fearful. It does not disqualify you from trusting and obeying. You were created to live with faith. Dr. E. Stanley Jones was a missionary and author, and he once said this quote. He said, I am inwardly fashioned for faith, not for fear. Fear is not my native land, faith is. I am so made that worry and anxiety are sand in the machinery of life. Faith is the oil. I live better by faith and confidence than by fear, doubt, and anxiety. In anxiety and worry, my being is grasping for breath. Have you ever been there when anxiety sets in and it's hard to even breathe? That is not my native air, but in faith and confidence, I breathe freely. These are my native air. It is such a powerful quote if you're going through a difficult time of reminding us what it means to be a believer, what is natural, what should be natural. A John Hopkins University doctor said, we do not know why it is that worriers die sooner than non-worriers, but that is a fact. You know, I of simple mind might not know for sure, but I think I know. You know, we are inwardly and constructed in nerve and tissue and brain cell and soul for faith, not for fear. God made us that way. To live by worry is to live against God's reality. The Apostle Peter lived in the reality of faith. I mean, just look at Peter. Peter's response to Jesus' presence was to ask him to invite him to get out of that boat and onto the water. And though Scripture doesn't say, are you crazy, from the disciples, I'm sure that statement was made. Are you crazy? And then as he took that step of faith, the disciples are saying, no, Peter, don't do it. It's amazing how when God calls us to step out, our closest, even Christian friends, are often the ones saying, don't do it. That's too scary. That's too risky. But Peter lived by faith. I think that he had seen Jesus do such amazing things through their ministry together that he longed to face his fear and get out of the safety of that boat to do what Jesus did. I mean, I would argue that many of us feel the same way deep down inside of us. Deep down, we long to be invited to get out of that boat of a comfortable life, to see God do amazing things through us. But to see those things happen, you got to get out of the boat. Jesus' response to Peter's invitations, come. Do it. Come on. Get out and onto the water and see your faith overcome your fear. And so life is often outside of our control. Faith is not the absence of fear. It's the result of the presence of Jesus. So keep your eyes on Jesus. Peter obediently got out of the boat at Jesus' invitation. Right before the disciples' eyes, a miracle took place. Peter was actually walking on the water. And that's the goal of the Christian life, to respond to God's call, to trust Him, and have the faith to take risks for God, blessing others with our actions. But just as quickly as Peter was above the water, he began to sink. Matthew 14:30 says, "But when he saw the strong wind and waves, he was terrified and began to sink. 'Save me, Lord,' he shouted." Let's watch this play out.
Lord, save me! I'm sinking!
In the shadow of your wings, do we take refuge?
Simon! 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 Help me, please!
Peter's flaw. Well, he's let his eyes focus on those swirling waters and on those big waves and not have them remain fixed on Jesus. And if we're honest, we have the tendency to do the same thing. Though we may have started by developing a deep faith with eyes on Jesus, if we're not careful, the worries of this world have a tendency to creep in. And the struggle with faith is it doesn't have a very long shelf life. Many of us try to live off of recycled faith from the past. And the danger in this way of living is that our eyes can drift from Jesus to our circumstances, and if we do, then we begin to sink. You know, most of my life, my eyes were laser focused on Jesus. I had the blessing, as I've shared before, of having my hearing healed when I was in my fifth grade year in school. Earlier that year, I was diagnosed with genetic hearing loss. And the only thing the doctors felt like they could do was to have me fitted for hearing aids. I had lost most of my hearing in one ear and about 50% in the other ear. And then my dad asked about 1,000 pastors to pray for me, and he had me then come into the adult Wednesday night service, and the church leadership laid hands on me while my dad prayed for my healing. And nothing happened that night. But the next morning when I woke up, my hearing was restored. That event sealed my faith in God. Nothing could convince me that God wasn't real. I remember the day I couldn't hear, and then the next day being able to hear again. But the day I received the news that my daughter Katie had drowned, along with two other students from the school where I taught, while they were on a mission trip to Costa Rica, my faith in God didn't wane, but I took my eyes off of Jesus. In my grief, I couldn't fathom how God could allow this to happen, and I lost faith in the goodness of God. And it took me a few months for God's healing to work in my life before I could get my feet back underneath me of my faith in God's goodness. And maybe you felt your eyes move from Jesus to your painful circumstances that you find yourself in. Or maybe your eyes have moved from Jesus because you've lost your faith in your own ability to let God work through you. We are wise to respond the way that Peter did when he cried out, "Save me." This is the right response to a fragile faith. There is no shame in reaching out for Jesus' rescue. He is our ever-present help in a time of need. Matthew chapter 14, 31 and 33 says, Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. "You have so little faith," Jesus said. "Why did you doubt me?" Then they climbed back into the boat. The wind stopped. Then the disciples worshiped him. "You really are the Son of God," they exclaimed. And so let's watch the last part of this clip. Pay attention to how Jesus restores and comforts Peter.
Ah.
gun for you, Johan.
I got you.
I have much planned for you, Simon, including hard things. Just keep your eyes on me. I promise. Don't let me go.
I'm here. I'm always here. I let people go hungry. But I feed them.
Please. Please don't let me go.
As Jesus pulled Peter from the water, he asked him, "Why did you have such little faith?" And why he doubted. I wonder who Peter was doubting, though. It couldn't have been Jesus, because Jesus was on top of the water. Peter must have been doubting his own ability to do what Jesus was doing. He was questioning his own ability to trust. The key is keeping our eyes on Jesus, because he is the one who provides the power to live the full life of God. Once Jesus and Peter were back in that boat, the water then calmed and the disciples worshiped him, because then they knew he was the Son of God. You know, today I believe Jesus is giving each of us this same invitation he gave to Peter, to leave the comfort and security of the boat and step out onto the waters of audacious faith, to see the power of God work in you and through you in amazing ways. There will always be waves and winds and distractions from Christ, but if we can keep our eyes on him, there is nothing that we can't do through him. So how is your spiritual eyesight doing right now? Are your eyes firmly fixed on Jesus? Are you ready to get out of the boat and start taking some scary steps of faith? Is it time maybe to get some things right with God? If so, let's talk to him about it right now. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, sometimes it helps to put that visual to a story we know so well, to really experience the motions of what happened in this. The challenges of walking by faith. Jesus, for those of who right now are struggling with their faith, you know, maybe there have been some hurtful circumstances that have caused you to get your eyes off of Jesus. Maybe it's not God that you are doubting, but maybe it's yourself and your ability to either hear correctly from God or your ability to do what God is asking you to do, and you just know what it is. Or maybe you would say that you believe in God, but you have never actually given your life to Jesus. If you are right now just ready to do that, ready to step across that line of faith, to begin this journey of living by faith, of walking with Jesus in this friendship, in this relationship with you, would you pray silent in your heart as I pray these words out loud? And just say, Father, I want to believe in you. Would you help my unbelief? Help me overcome my doubts in you and in myself. I want to be in a right relationship with you. And I want to live the life you created me for. I confess my sins today. Please forgive me. I believe that Jesus died for my sins and rose from the dead. And today I commit to follow you as the leader of my life and as a part of your church from this day forward. As we continue praying for those who have a relationship with God, but your eyes have slipped off of Jesus and onto the circumstances of life that is just threatening to take you down with them. Would you just give that to God right now? Just as we're praying, just release it to Him. He knows about it. Have a conversation. Tell Him about your struggles. God, I ask that you would restore some hearts of faith here. Would you reach down and grab the arm of anyone who feels like they're slipping below the surface of life? If there is someone who has lost their trust in your goodness, God, would you renew the one whose faith has slipped? You know, maybe it's their faith and their ability to work through them. Maybe it's their faith in your love and provision. Or maybe it's their faith in themselves to just take these steps you're asking them to take. You know, if you're struggling with your faith to get out of the boat, your faith to join God on this grand adventure He has for you, would you commit right now to just do whatever it's going to take for you to keep your eyes on Jesus? Spending time with Him every day, making time for worship each Sunday, getting yourself into a small group, finding ways to serve and use your spiritual gifts. Would you also commit to never give up? Keep seeking God's will. Keep looking for that next step of faith, even when it gets hard. Keep pressing into God. Keep praying. Keep seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness, because the promise is then He will meet your needs. God, I pray for a mighty work of the Holy Spirit in this room today. Fresh fire, come. Holy wind, blow through this room as only you can do. God, would you open up the heavens and pour down your Spirit upon us? I pray, God, that you would strengthen us in boldness, increase our faith, give hope where hope is needed, and let us see your mighty hand working. We pray all this in Jesus' precious and mighty name. Amen.